Jan asked, we actually gave me the idea to do a youth service years ago.
Oh.
And we're finally able to put it together, but we've got everybody involved in doing something, and you're going to see Breland and Nicole in a few minutes, but I'd ask Melody if she would be willing to speak today, and many of you know she's going to University of Dayton. Come on up here. Going to University of Dayton.
That's right.
And she's been there 3 years, but she'll be able to graduate in May. Me, it took more than 4 years. So I credit you with that. But she's going to go on to, she's taking a minor in religious studies, and she wants to go to seminary. And Pastor Church has been with us 8 years, joined the church in August. So we are glad you're here.
It's good to be here.
The floor is yours.
Sounds all good. Right. Thank you, Pastor. So, yeah, like he said, it's good morning, everyone. It's good to be home again. It's good to be back in my home church and seeing all your faces again and greeting people. And it's good to see Linda handing out the bulletins this morning. So, yeah, I'm just back from University of Dayton, and I have had some really cool classes up at college. And I wanted to share a little bit from one of them with you just because I think it's pertinent, and it got me thinking about God and about my faith from taking this class. It was called The History of Early Christianity. So basically what this class was doing was it was looking at Jesus here and then the timeline after that. So like the centuries after that up until the Reformation, but we're just like looking at the first couple of centuries where the Christian church was starting to form and trying to figure out what they were doing and where they were going and all of the steps they had to take and the persecution they were going through. So I just thought that was really interesting. Because what we were seeing in there was we were talking about how Christianity, back during its initial phases, wasn't just Christianity. It was more like sects. So like, there's this one type of Christianity and there's this other type. So it was more like Christianities, so to speak. I was just like, that's kind of cool. But so it was interesting because there was this one group when the Christian church was starting out, and they were called like Marcionism. And basically, their idea of Christianity and faith was really just anti-world. They were like, it's not about, you know, like the world is evil, and so Jesus had to come like straight out of heaven, just ascended straight out of heaven because, you know, he couldn't have been born in this evil world. And they were like, the Jewish God is really judgy, but the Christian God is really loving, so he couldn't judge. And so they were off there in left field thinking that. And then there was this other group, they were called the Gnostics. And basically, they were also very anti-world, and they were like, we don't like the world, like, the world is evil, how could God have made this? And then they also thought that there was, like, Jesus was this secret messenger that came and had this key, and he was just like, here you go, but only to a couple of people, so not everyone got to know the message, only just a couple of people, which I thought was interesting. So basically, what the Christianity we know today did was they looked at that, and they were like, what are these people saying? What are they doing? And so they had to come together, like, once they realized they weren't just getting persecuted by the Romans and all these other people, but they had to face things that were going on inside of their own faith. And that was how they were able to figure out and to develop the things that we have today. Like, we know the Apostles' Creed. That came from this. And, you know, canons and apostolic succession and things like that. It's how people recognized that they were Christians and they weren't these heretical other groups. But I thought the Apostles' Creed just was really fascinating. And I looked into, you know, what is the breakdown? What exactly were they doing? So looking at it, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. So that's saying that nothing is falling outside of God's rule. They are explicitly saying this world is beautiful, this world is created from God. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. So today when we think about that, we're thinking more about, oh, the Catholic Church, you know, she was a virgin, she was Mary, you know, we're thinking of that kind of thing. But really, the whole point of that was to say that Jesus was born. That's the whole reason they put it in there. Because they're like, hey, Jesus was on this earth. He didn't shoot straight out of heaven like that other group was saying. You know, here's Jesus. He was on this earth the whole time. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, so that was like a historical reference. Saying, again, he was here. He was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. So what is that judging saying? It's coming against that other group that said a loving God can't judge. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, holy meaning they have authority, and Catholic meaning they are united, they are the big group. The communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, which is, again, looking at how the flesh is not evil, and the life everlasting. That's pretty cool. This whole creed that we have was from the Christians coming forward and deciding that they were going to come against this opposition and come against these questions and figure out exactly what they believed, figure out exactly what they were thinking and why they were thinking it. And so that got me thinking, why are we so scared now when we have these oppositions to our faith? I know in some other churches I went to when I was younger, you know, don't ask questions. That was almost like the silent mantra that was just kind of whispered among people. Don't ask questions, just accept it. But I think there's something to accepting it. I think there is something to challenging your faith, to asking those questions. You know, maybe it's you're looking at what you think is already true and looking into that as well. You know, sometimes there's context for Bible verses that we're misinterpreting. Be still and know that I am God. What do we think that's about? Peace, right? That's what we're taught. We're taught it's about peace and about just having this calmness because God is there and God's got this. And while that is true, God gives us peace and God's got this. That's really not the whole point that this Bible verse was for. I mean, it's wonderful that we're able to draw that, and there's great value in that, but that's not what it was about. You know, it's actually about glory and about reverence and saying, wow, God, you are amazing, you are phenomenal, you are glorious. The verse before it says, he makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Can you imagine this? He's burning these shields with fire. This is this powerful moment that's going on. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. That was Psalm chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. This is not some little peaceful, calming moment by any means. This is this strong moment where we're saying, God is glorious, and we magnify you because of your gloriousness. I think that's really interesting. Or even if we think about the camel going through the eye of a needle, we've heard that before. A rich person cannot go through, you know, the eye of a needle. I think I was talking to Dad about this, and initially I was thinking, you know, like a sewing needle, and you've seen the eye of that thing, and the camel, you know, yay tall. I'm like, there's no way that camel's going to get through that. And he said, actually, the eye of a needle was a place. And so it was how they would, what was it, get into the city? Oh, it was like a door? Okay. So that's what would happen. And so they would have to take all the luggage off and then have to kind of squat the camel down. The camel would have to go through this door. So it was possible, but boy, it was a squeeze. They were really kind of, I could just imagine someone kind of like pushing this camel through, you know, like get on through there. But that's the kind of things, you know, you think you know something. We're looking at it from our worldview, our perspective. But really there's things that we don't even realize we have questions about sometimes. So really looking at things that you think you know. And even beyond that, don't be scared to ask those hard questions. You know, we really love certainty. And we love stepping forward and knowing what's going on and knowing how things are going to play out and things of that nature. Or maybe we don't want to seem dumb, or we don't want to offend anyone, or we don't want to mislead someone else by having these questions like, oh, they don't have it all together. We're not supposed to have it all together. We're not God. It's okay to have those hard questions and to ask them and to struggle with that. And, you know, to just go through that process of figuring out what is it that I believe and why do I believe it? Because then you're able to take that and make it your own. Then you are able to make that stance. This is what I believe. And if someone else comes up to you and has questions, you're able to then help them out. Because you went through that struggle and you figured it out exactly why it is the way it is. I know one of my friends back at college, she was telling me a lot how what she would do was she would go to church and she would go to mass and they would, you know, do all these rituals and do all these rites and she was like, and confession and whatnot. And she was like, I don't really know why I'm doing this. I'm just kind of doing it. And so because she was just doing it, it didn't have any meaning for her. It didn't have any power over her. She just did it because someone told her that she should be doing it. So by going through and asking these questions and questioning our faith, it's not saying that God isn't good enough or that there's something wrong, that there's a flaw in the argument of God, so to speak. No, it's just saying that we're not sure where we are yet, and we're going to get to that place where we know what is going on. So, that's just been weighing on my mind a lot, and especially because I am at school and I'm having all these kinds of questions, and, you know, sometimes people are scared to ask questions because, you know, people are like, oh, there's such thing as dumb questions and whatnot. But I think that's really important that we aren't scared to step forward and we aren't scared to ask those questions because God is going to guide us in our discernment. We just have to take that first step, and we have to ask. Can we pray? God, I thank you so much for giving us minds and spirits and hearts that want to draw closer to you. I thank you that you have put this inside of us that we just want to reach out and we just want to chase after you. And so even in those moments where we're unsure about things and we have things that maybe we don't understand about you, God, I just ask that you would just give us guidance and direction so that we're able to find those answers and that we are able to figure out more of you, more of your heart, and that in turn we are able to help other people more because we weren't scared to get out there and to ask those questions. God, I praise you for all that you are, all that you've done, and all that you will continue to do. Thank you for who you are, because you are so amazing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.